Hello, and welcome to Black Girl Squee, where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a squee! I am your co-host, Enda, also known as Enda's Corner on Twitter.
I'm Dee Dee, a goodbye Death's Daughter on Twitter.
Collectively, we are at Black Girl Squee on Twitter. Our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Ooh, that was horrible. Our email, you can want to reach us, you can find us at our email at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And you can also find our show on a variety of podcatchers. If you find us on iTunes, please be sure to listen to us there and rate us so with a 5-star review and give us a review. We'd really appreciate that. You can also find us on our podcast hosts, Simplecast, blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. If you would like to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. We'd really appreciate your support there, too. Also, some housekeeping notes. We have a spoiler policy, meaning we spoil shit that used to be things like How to Get Away with Murder and Underground, but life is not kind to us, so we will spoil other shit at some time. And as you may have gathered from that, we cuss a lot and we talk about peen a lot. Okay, so also, as you may have heard from our Twitter feed, our show is coming up on our 2-year anniversary, so if you would like to send us shout-outs and other celebratory messages, please email us at our email address. That was blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And,
All right, for all the evil people that voted for this on Patreon, people that don't even subscribe to my Patreon... voted for this.
You made it an option.
Tomorrow, I couldn't think of anything else, and now I wish I had. I should have left it blank. Should have just given y'all three. Y'all.
You left it as an option. Did you think I was going to resist that? No.
So, the video will be up tomorrow, and half of you heifers won't even be able to watch it unless you put some money in. So, unless you drop some coins in that Patreon, y'all won't even be able to see it, but it'll be up.
She can't see, but I'm over here doing the Cabbage Patch in celebratory Cabbage Patch.
She don't even care. She not gonna see it. She not gonna watch it. She just wanna make me do it.
Yes, I do.
See, that's how evil all of y'all are. Y'all evil. The truth ain't in you, and you ain't shit.
But she the one who said that all of her co-hosts are rude. So hey, I'm gonna be rude now.
I did not say that. I said I was going to rank them from rudest to least rude.
No. You just said rudest. You put the rudest there, and that was the implication that we were rude.
Whatever. Y'all inferring way too much. But anyway, it never even happened. So. But y'all are still proving it true. So anyway.
Okay. All right. So after that, one last warning. We squee loud and we squee often. And as my co-host say, I squee louder than she does. So you may want to adjust your volume accordingly.
Be and loud and evil.
And I'm going to squee while I think about her making that video.
That she's not even going to watch.
So, all right. All right. So, but that should be your cue. Like, to go ahead, support the Patreon, and watch Diddy squirm while she reads.
Oh my God. Really? That's really. How you go, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember.
All right. So, on to our squee-worthy news. If you have been keeping up with the news, then you'll know that Tracy K. Smith is our new poet laureate. That means she's the poet laureate of the entire country. She has published 3 volumes of poetry and collected prestigious awards, including the Pulitzer Prize. And the poet laureate is the nation's highest honor in that field, and this is given by the Library of Congress. Tracy Smith, she says, "I'm very excited about the opportunity to take what I consider to be the good news of poetry to parts of the country where literary festivals don't always go." Well, that's good. "Poetry is something that's relevant to everyone's life, whether they're habitual readers of poetry or not." Wow. All right, so to Tracy K. Smith, we give a...
All right. You can now see her in the Tupac biopic, All Eyes on Me, but Black Panther and The Walking Dead's Danai Gurira also joins the cast of Avengers Infinity War. Her role hasn't been announced yet, but we're assuming it's going to be the role that she's playing in Black Panther, which is Okoye, yes. One of the Dora Milaje. So
yes.
She's going to be filming in Atlanta this summer. And also, Infinity War Parts 1 and 2 are rumored to have a $1 billion, that's billion with a B, dollar budget. So some folks over there is getting some checks, and I hope Danai gets her a big one.
Exactly.
So to Danai Gurira, we give a big
squeeze. Oh man, I can't wait for Black Panther.
Oh Jesus, we'd have it next month. The one for Spidey.
Yeah, we probably also have Luke Cage sooner if it wasn't for
Punisher. Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody wants the Punisher.
Nobody. I know. Mm. But anyway, if you haven't seen that trailer for Black Panther, I couldn't possibly fathom why. But man, everybody's still on their trailer, and it's been a week, but hey.
89 million views.
Yes.
And counting. Yeah. 89 million. This is how bad we wanted this.
Yes.
And you pushed it back for Iron Man 5 featuring Spider-Man.
Iron Man 5 featuring Spider-Man. Basically. Yeah,
whatever.
Basically.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Not
so.
Basically.
Yes. Well, next squeeworthy item. There is an article and BFI.org, do I remember what that, that's a British film institute, I believe. And they did a story, why Dee Reese's Pariah is more than just a female Moonlight, because if that doesn't make sense, because Pariah became before Moonlight. Anyway.
That's what people are trying to rebrand it as now, in light of Moonlight's success. I don't know.
Pariah was first.
Yeah, but...
Okay. From the article, it said Reese created a, quote, "a uniquely pop culture savvy, sex positive, queer womanist vision where Audre Lorde quotes and Kia songs played in strip clubs sit comfortably next to one another." Well, yeah, this sounds like a black woman's life. Favors moments and emotion over action to tell the story, which is what I love in films. And the great cinematography from Bradford Young highlights the beauty of black skin. Yes, it does. So, I'm like, if you haven't seen this film yet, what are you waiting on? What? It's been, what was it, 2011? Yeah, premiered in 2011 at Sundance Film Festival. And yeah, if you do like Moonlight, it is that type of film. It kind of focuses more on atmosphere and emotion, you know, rather than plot. You have to care about these characters and all. And it was just a really good, beautiful film. And Kim Wayans was so good in it. I was surprised at how good she was, because I still remember her from In Living Color and all the funny stuff she does. But yeah, it's beautifully shot. It's beautifully told. You love and care about these characters. And, you know, it centers Black queer women. So
to Dee Reese and the cast of Pariah, we give a... All right, from CNN, there was an opinion piece. Kamala Harris is every woman who stands up to speak. Kamala Harris is a California senator who's been involved in the Senate intelligence hearings of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And she has been rudely interrupted during her questioning of these two individuals at least twice. And we all know why.
Yep.
People wanna divide it and be non-intersectional and say it's just because she's a woman. It's not just because she's a woman. It's because she's a Black woman.
Yep.
She's actually Black, of Black and Indian descent. So she is a woman of color, and it matters. Sessions has been playing on stereotypes about Black women to evade questioning. He actually said during testimony that Kamala Harris made him nervous, which all, you know, anyone can see is playing on the stereotype of an angry, intimidating Black woman. So, yeah, I mean, he's one of Chump's boys, so
yep.
Of course he's going to use racism to get out of whatever. They have no problem with it. They're not embarrassed by it. It's whatever works for them.
Just, oh, so blatant. And I'm glad that the second time around she didn't back down. I'm so glad. But then they did the same thing, like telling her to be courteous. And she explained to them, look, people have been joking and stuff like all this whole time. I'm not doing anything different. And it's like they just, you know, they just really don't care, because they know they'll get away with it, because face it, deep down, most people like them agree, and they want us to follow a different set of rules. And do for everybody else.
So just, you know, shout out to Senator Harris. If you do read this piece, don't read the comments.
Yes.
And women of color, especially Black women, can relate to all of the things that Senator Harris is going through. So just sending good thoughts her way and support her way. So to Senator Kamala Harris, we give a big squeeze.
All right. And so, finally, wanted to highlight a couple of articles that ran on ID. It's a magazine out of Britain, kind of one of those, well, to me, I guess, kind of hipster things. I am kind of a hipster, except without the white privilege, so I actually do enjoy a lot of the stuff out of the side of the mainstream. And so, they reposted, actually, well, they reconnected to an article from April and then another one from this month, and they spotlight Black trans women, and so I just wanted to talk briefly about them. The first one from April is called Prescription Drugs, Transphobia, Grief. Amarasu takes it all on with pop music. And if you'd never heard of her, Star Amarasu is a singer out of Oakland. She chose her name when she was transitioning as a teen. She says she was, quote, drawn to Japanese goddess Amaterasu. And she said, I wanted to embody what she stood for because she is the goddess of the sun and the universe, and her name literally means shining one. And she released her EP, Rebecca, 3 months ago. And in it, she takes on subjects including drug use, mental health, loss, and frustration. And I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It's only 5 songs, but it is so good. And so when you're done listening to this, go listen to that EP on SoundCloud. And anyway, she did that interview with ID while she was touring Australia. She talked about her belief in mythology and witchcraft, you know, among other things. And she said, I believe in magic. I believe I have power in this world full of patriarchy and misogyny and transphobia. The only thing I really have that is my own is my beliefs and my hope, and that's fucking magical. Our hope and love can break down walls and barriers. We can change the world. I believe in community, and our ability to create spaces is a really powerful magic, probably one of the biggest magics that we have in the world. And I also wanted to mention, she says that she loves listening to her own music and wouldn't make it if she didn't want people to listen to it. She said, I made a clonopan, I think that's how it's pronounced, that's the first track off the EP, for myself, but I knew other people in the queer community who also struggle with mental health. As people navigating this fucked up society, a lot of us are struggling and feel alone. I wanted to make a song other people could listen to and enjoy, but also be like, wow, there are other people like me who have fucking problems. And I wanted also to point out another of my favorite tracks off the EP. It's called Meg Ryan. So if you know who Meg Ryan is, you pretty much know what the song is about. She said that the song was very tongue-in-cheek and to make people examine their privilege. Often white feminists say, we're so oppressed as white women. Their feminism lacks the intersectional lens that says, yes, white men dominate the world, but next comes white women. In a lot of spaces, white women are able to go through their day without having to brush up against the idea their life can be taken away from them. Black trans women's lives can be taken away just for simply existing. And we're going to have some stuff to say about white feminism again later. But, yeah, check that out. Like I said, that ran in April as Star Amarasu. And she often spells out her name phonetically. So, Amarasu. But you can also look for Star Amarasu as well. But like I said, highly recommend that EP. Also wanted to point out a feature this month that ran on a dancer. Her name is Ima Asher. And in the article, she talks about the liberatory possibilities of dance and her transition. She says, I think the appeal of dancing was that it allowed me to feel accepted. It allowed me to feel needed and wanted. It allowed me to work hard and gain results that I could control. It afforded me the time away from being called names at school or dealing with the messiness of my home life. The appeal of dance was hope. And interestingly, at one point, she performed under the name Ima/Mess, but she realized that this was another way of hiding herself. She says, looking back, Ima Mess for me represents a tremendous frustration in my life. It reminds me of the time I didn't know myself and used a persona to hide my truth of being a trans woman. During my time as Ima Mess, I was never happy, but didn't know any other way to survive or communicate. Ima Mess served her purpose and is no longer a part of me for good reason. So, wow. And at this moment in time, she's undergoing surgical transition, and she's raising money for facial feminization surgery. So if you read the article on ID, there are links to where you can go and contribute to her and help her make it through her transition. So I You know, this is June. It's Pride Month, and wanted to acknowledge those women. And because, like I said, that album, that EP is really good. And there's also a short film on Ima Asher from Vimeo and that link. So you should definitely check it out. So, all right. Okay, so to these ladies, we'd like to give a squee! All right. So, we're not going to do a main topic again this week, but we do have Catch the Fade. I already hinted toward it because I swear every last one of these, the same old bullshit. It just doesn't end. Doesn't end. So, Dee Dee, do you wanna start our Catch the Fade?
I'm doing this with no fans, so this is gonna be Katy Perry. Is 33 years old, and her press tour for her new album has turned into an apology tour because people have called her out on her constant cultural appropriation, and now she wants to tell everybody what she's learned. So she's going on a lot of podcasts hosted by black men.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, hosted by black men. Because they're the representatives of all blackness, I suppose. Even though she says she learned about the fact that she was, you know, appropriating from her so-called empowered angels, which is what she chooses to call black women.
Empowered angels.
Empowered angels. What's been in the news this week is that she went on DeRay's podcast, Pod Save the People. Oh. And, you know, was crying and, you know, complaining about clapbacks and patting his knee. Why are you touching him, Katy?
Ew.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work on him. Whatever mojo you think you got, it's not going to work on him. He's queer.
Yeah. Openly.
Yeah. So, the white woman tears may work still. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the whole trying to appeal through touch and sensuality or whatever, that might not work. Anyways, a lot of people have talked about it much more eloquently than I, but... you know, her saying that, you know, the clapback is so harsh and makes her not want to listen, then fine. Keep getting your ass dragged at 32, 33 years old. Nobody has time to hold your hand. People out here are dying for no reason. And their murderers are getting acquitted.
Yep.
So I have no time or inclination to hold your grown-ass hand.
Thank you.
Discussions about racism 101 or cultural appropriation 101. fuck you and the horse you rode in on. And I don't care how many black men's podcasts you go on.
Yep.
The fact that you're afraid to sit down with some black women when they're the ones you've been stealing from and appropriating and hurting.
Thank you.
Is very telling. and you can sit down, have all the seats. I'm glad that SZA, an actual black woman, is selling more than you right now. Appreciate loving that. Just sit your ass down and catch a fade. Catch all the fades and all the L's. You have earned them.
Yeah, if you also want to read a bit more about that, Afropunk ran an op-ed piece, behind every white woman stealing from black women, there's a black man behind her.
Caping.
Yes. Oh, what was it? I was listening to 3/5 podcast and somebody, she was mentioning that, a tweet she wrote, not all capes wear heroes.
Basically.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I'm like, black men, if you're trying to co-sign on this, saying, oh, well, she learned her lesson, and try to tell us not to be mad about it, you know, fuck you too, you know?
She's done this throughout her career.
For fucking years, okay? She's been doing this probably more than 10 years, I believe.
She hasn't learned and shit.
She got constantly called out on it. Why now? And also, why won't she speak to the people who've been calling out on it?
It's the fear of the clapback.
Yep.
It's because her tears won't work on us.
Yep.
Like, exactly. You can cry all you want, but you gonna hear what the fuck I have to say.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not gonna tell me exactly how I should say it either. So she can't control any of that.
Nope.
To another one. Actress and director Elizabeth Banks recently made a comment that Steven Spielberg has never made a film with a woman lead. So she was reminded by people in the crowd of whatever meeting she was at, or conference, or whatever, press conference, whatever, of the existence of The Color Purple, which had a lot of women in leading roles. They just weren't white.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so she got dragged the other day on Twitter, and then somebody else, got on Twitter talking about The Color Purple was a flop and got her ass dragged. Like, come, feel free, people, to jump in and take these L's, because, you know, ain't nothing like a nice little drag on a Thursday morning. Keeps my teeth white. So, so the fact that you completely forgot a whole ass movie full of women because they don't look like you.
Yep.
You can catch the fade for that. And other people, you know, after Twitter got finished dragging Banks and that other random white chick, they actually got into the movies that she's directed. And the stereotype she's employed when it comes to women of color. So, looking at Pitch Perfect and Pitch Perfect 2, I don't know if she directed
those?
She won or both of them, I'm not sure. At least one of them. And all of the women of color in them are stereotypes. Characters. Not fully human. Not 3D people. So, Miss Banks, your slip is showing.
Yes.
You got your whole ass out, and we see you.
And this is the thing that gets me. Everybody's like, oh, well, she apologized. And I'm like, I don't give a shit, because see, when she made the comment, I believe it was a black woman who at the event pointed out to her that actually he directed The Color Purple, and she just moved on. Like it didn't even matter. See, it's not like you said, oh, okay, well, that's the exception, you know, sorry, I mean, but still, it doesn't, you know, take away from the point I made. She didn't even acknowledge that. She had to wait to get dragged before she even said anything. So to me, that's just telling me that is so insincere. She's just trying to cover her ass now. You know?
I'm like, and then on top of all of that, after the dragon, after the apology, after Twitter said, after Black Twitter or Black Womanist Twitter said, we don't give a fuck about your apology, here comes the bleepity bleep. I don't even want to say their name no more.
Girl.
So through with this organization, every month they show a spectacular failure of understanding what intersectionality is.
Yes.
And how to apply it in your everyday life. Every month there's a new article showing that they don't give a fuck about intersectionality. So they were at it again, dismissing the very valid points and concerns of black women as expressed on Twitter and other social media. And they can catch the fade too.
And after that person got dragged for that, I just saw it in passing. They gave the writer of this another chance. Like, what I as a white woman learned about that we don't care. We don't give a shit. See, the organization you're talking about, I actually did apply for, you know, to be an editor there. I never heard back from them. Uh-huh. And so I'm just sitting here sipping tea like, should have hired me and avoided all this.
Really? They would need to hire 10 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, I don't know who is approving some of this shit that they run. But I'm like, this is why this is why nobody trusts you.
I mean, I bet there's like one or two women of color writing for them. I bet that's it. I bet everybody else is some sort of white.
Yeah, but this is the
because
thing.
Because this
only
happens
have,
every month.
Yeah. And they just refuse to learn. They just refuse to. At this point, you are just refusing to learn.
So and people, this is, you read that site at your own risk.
Yeah. See, this is why you can't just have, you know, one or two people in token positions, because when that happens, you have them there, but you don't value them, and you overrule everything they say anyway, because you're right, and you don't think you need to listen to them. You think just having them there gives you, you know, license in country that, you know, you're in the right, and you're in the clear. That is not how it works. That is not how it works. So, like, you can trot out, you know, your, you know, one or two tokens if you have them. I don't give a shit. I'm like, are you listening to them when they tell you you fucked up, and will you let them prevent you from fucking up? Apparently not.
Because you keep fucking up.
Exactly.
So, yeah, read that site at your own risk. If you like high blood pressure, there you go. That's the place to go to keep it raised at all times.
Yep. Okay. And speaking of more white women fucking up, just today, wow, Sofia Coppola, who I am glad whose films I have never seen and I don't give a shit about. This new film that she's doing, the name of it isn't important because she does the same film every time. But in this film, it's set during, you know, the Confederacy period. And she actually changed it from the material that it's adapted from. There's this is actually a remake of a film. And she said that she, when she did the film, she wanted to focus on the gender dynamics of the Confederacy, not the racial ones.
Wow. This sounds like some Scarlett Johansson shit.
Yeah. But this is what she said. She said that she wasn't really looking at the political aspects of the Confederacy as she was writing and directing it. She said at the heart of the story, it's really about the power dynamics between men and women that are universal and that are sort of heightened in this kind of premise. First of all, bitch, there is nothing universal about anything you do. Your shit is white as fucking white. In the film that she remade it from, is that the woman in the main role, she was an enslaved woman who was taking care of this man while he healed. But in her version, she made this woman white. She took all of these scenes that were supposed to be from the enslaved woman and gave them to a white woman. So she erased this woman, and then she said, I didn't want to brush over such an important topic in a light way. Young girls watch my films, and this was not the depiction of an African-American character I would want to show them.
Then why are you doing this movie? Do a different movie.
Yeah. And why do you think, and let's just face it, when she says young girls, she means young white girls. Basically. Why do you think it... Why do you think, you know, they shouldn't see a depiction of how black women are treated, what black women had to go through, you know, during this time period? What's so precious about them that they have to be shielded from this? Sophia, your daddy is Francis fucking Coppola, okay? You got all fucking kinds of privilege. Your aunt is Talia Shire.
Your cousin is Nick Cage. I don't...
Thank you. Girl, and then she want to be the first one talking about all the tough ways women directors have it, you know, in Hollywood. Heffa, if you did not have name recognition, your name recognition alone gave you opportunities that most people will never see in their lives, and you need to acknowledge that. And see, this is like I said, why I'm so glad I've never been interested in any of her fucking lily ass white films. Never, not a one. Everybody always upset she didn't get like a nod for like Lost in Translation or something like that. I don't like Scarlett Johansson.
That movie was dull.
And it's about white. You said a film in Japan about white people. Girl.
Universal.
I guess.
Universal is just... It's just a code word for white.
It really is.
It's universal racism. We see you.
Yeah.
We see you, and we see the fact that you don't see us.
They don't. You literally fucking erased a black woman. You took a role away from a black woman because you didn't want to deal with it. And that is what privilege is. You didn't want to deal with it, so you didn't. Say, hey, I don't have to deal with this, so... Oh.
But you can deal with... You can talk about gender with a black woman character. She's still a woman. I don't... What? Where is the disconnect in people's mind?
Seriously. Look at Hidden Figures. Think about that scene when Janelle played Mary, right?
Yeah.
When she goes into that classroom and the teacher, you know, looks at her and he says, well, this course isn't designed, you know, for a woman. Well, I imagine teaching a woman is the same as teaching a man. And then she's like, I don't see a colored section. Where do I sit? Intersection right there. Because she knows the strikes she has against her, and she acknowledged both of them.
For that scene between Octavia and Kirsten.
Yes!
In the bathroom.
Who, ironically, I think is the lead in this film. Sophia Coppola's film. Because they work together a lot.
Who, Kirsten Dunst? Oh, yeah. Right. He was in that Marie Antoinette bullshit.
Yeah, and I think she was also in that other one, some early, I don't know. But man, that exactly, you're exactly right about that. Let's see, the thing is, a white woman talking about, I don't have anything against, you know, you probably said you people, and Dorothy's like, I'm sure you believe that. Yeah. And, you know, just kind of gives her that smile and just walks away.
The whole movie, Kirsten gets a title. She gets a Mrs. whatever her name is, while Kirsten is calling Octavia, who has to be at least 10, 15 years older than her, by her first name.
Yes.
This whole movie, like they were friends. They barely know each other. So... anyway,
see, this is why we ain't breaking our necks to, you know, come be in solidarity with y'all and shit. When you want to fucking erase us, literally fucking erase us, and then want us to stand by your side. And this is why y'all run a black man and not and stay very far away from us, because we will tell you about yourself, and not nicely either.
Yeah. So, all y'all catch the fade. You ain't gonna learn, so why waste the breath? Y'all ain't even worth the clap back. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck y'all.
Basically. Speaking of fucking.
Let's talk about dick.
Yeah.
All right. So,
y'all need to come through with some suggestions. I asked y'all last time, because I'm trying not to talk about these white boys on here, because I feel like the minute I mention their name, they're gonna go and fuck up.
That's the curse.
I don't want. there's the DWIDP bump, you know.
Yeah.
We mention them on here and they be winning Emmys and Oscars and shit. And then there's the curse where we mention them,
see,
and then they become rape apologists and shit.
But the bump is mostly men of color, though. The curse is some, you know, men of color, mostly black men, let's be honest. But the white ones always just take a huge fall.
Yeah,
because they
so
just
I don't
show
want to risk it.
Because they show their whole ass, and it's like, oh, you just had to disappoint me. You really
and
just had to disappoint
me.
Yeah,
not in a fun way. So I'm holding off because it ain't but like two or three white boys that I actually fucks with. So
yeah, okay. I'm really hoping. Yeah, I'm really hoping mine. Don't fuck up, because there's rumors about him. And trying to do a role that if he takes it, it'll be whitewashed. And I'm like, you already done that, so don't do it again.
Yeah, you're already on probation.
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about. So
yeah.
He lucky
I can't quit his ass.
So, you know, without naming his name, you know. I see the titties are growing, and you're getting beefy again, and I appreciate it. I appreciate your hard work.
Yes.
The titties is blooming, and they look real good. They look real good. They look real good. So kudos to you, and. Let's talk about our actual DWIDP.
Okay, so this week, I'm kind of fond of this one. You know, it's like I still kind of look at him as like being cute, not like really hot, but he's so cute, and I really kind of hate that because of because of a problematic level there. But we are talking about Kenan Lonsdale. I hope I said his name correctly. I think it is Key because he always wears that earring with the key on it, and I think that's because his name is Key. And you know him mostly as Wally West, a.k.a. Kid Flash from The Flash. He also had a supporting role in the Divergent series, which I've never seen. But, he's an Australian actor. His father is Nigerian from the Edo people, and his mother is Australian, who is part Irish. You know, he has six older siblings on his mom's side. There's three brothers and two sisters, and he's got seven siblings from his father's side. I'm thinking there's some overlap there, I hope.
Wow, I don't know. That's a lot of family.
Yeah, but I hope there's some overlap. Like, he's, like, their youngest child or something. I don't know. Or he's one of their youngest kids. They have other kids together. Because if not, that's a hell of a blended family.
Yep.
Whew.
But he's also very brave.
Yes.
He recently came out as bisexual, I think, on Instagram.
Yeah.
So just, you know, since it's Pride Month and, you know,
yeah,
a lot of people are trying to cut bisexuals and lesbians out of their parades.
Yes. Yes.
shout out to a black bisexual man.
And shout out to my fellow Sag.
Ah, here you go.
He's a Sagittarius, just barely, because he was almost a Capricorn.
When will they be Scorpios?
I was almost a Scorpio.
See, you almost came to the side of the angels, but, you know.
No, I'm a Sag. I'm a Sagittarius, and we're just kind of mellow. Sagittarius, we're mellow. We're not, you know, evil. We're not, you know, saints either. But, you know, we're mellow. But, yeah, Kenan.
What are you trying to say about Scorpio?
I didn't say a word.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We're not evil. You trying to imply? I say. Mm.
You implied I was rude.
So what about Kenan?
Okay, Kenan. he's very cute on the show, but since he came out, of course, Tumblr has run with him, and I'm seeing these photo shoots he's done and all, and he actually one thing is I like when he colors his hair, because he does some really nice hair colors and stuff sometimes, but also he actually used to have a goatee. Like a couple of years ago.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, bruh.
I need the pictures of that.
Hold up. Oh, wait. I think I just found it because it came across my timeline. Yeah. Oh, here it is. Let me see. I got a link. Diddy, if this will ever come up because it's running slow. But yeah. But the, y'all know how I feel about goatees.
And beards in general. Just any kind of facial hair.
Yes.
She's all about it. He's also a singer and a dancer.
Yep.
He's released singles on iTunes. And so he's just an all-around artiste.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just so glad for him. He just seems like such a cool person. I remember somebody was talking about his accent on The Flash, and he said, I think I heard his British accent coming through. He's like, did it sound Australian? And my freaking computer's running slow, and I can't send you this link. He's got white hair and a goatee.
That'll be later. Shout out to Kenan Lonsdale. Thank you for being brave. I mean, you didn't have to do it, but I appreciate
you. Didn't. Yeah.
So, woman is vocab.
All right. So, womanist vocab. Today's womanist vocab term, if I can get this going, okay, is sea lioning. Sea lioning refers to a subtle form of trolling in which someone asks a question or attempts to provoke a conversation in bad faith by making a sincere request for the conversation. However, this prompting usually places the burden of educating on a marginalized person. Furthermore, no matter how well or thoroughly the marginalized person answers, the sea lioner always responds with misinterpretation and request for more information. This, in fact, simply harasses the marginalized person and wastes their time. Sea lioning was introduced in a comic called Wonder Mark by David Mockey. And if you've never seen that comic, it's a perfect, you know, visual representation.
But you'll see this on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
When somebody gets called out for racism, somebody gets called out for misogynoir, somebody gets called out for transphobia.
Yeah.
Oh, well, prove it. Prove it.
Exactly.
This is just a one-time thing. No. Bitch, Google is free. And even if I made a whole entire thread of all the fuck shit that somebody did, I saw one of these this morning about Jeffree Star going at a black woman. Somebody's like, well, prove it. Somebody came back with all kinds of a thread full of receipts, and they're like, well, but no, you're lying. Google is free. Figure it out for yourself. I've got other things to do.
Yep.
Then talk about this trash.
Yep.
That is a real thing. That happens all the time. Like,
yes.
They really come for women of color expecting us to drop everything.
Yep.
And educate you.
Yep.
And the thing is, if you're doing it, there's another 5 or 10 people waiting in line and
exactly.
Or posted up in somebody's mentions doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And that is exhausting. That is why so many people of color, women of color, black women, take long-ass social media breaks because of bullshit like this.
Yep.
And also the, you know, just blatant attacks that Twitter won't do shit about.
Child, I'm looking at fucking actual death threats against women, and they still, well, this doesn't come out of line with our policy. Like, what?
But check our new update. We made everything round.
Yeah, Bubbles, look. Seriously?
Still can't edit shit. Can't edit a damn thing. And the site looks like some tween shit. Sorry. No offense to tweens, but I'm far from it.
Okay, so Black Girl Commandments. Dee Dee?
Straight up, listen to black women.
Yeah.
Listen to black women. This doesn't mean that you have to agree with black women all the time, or do what they say. It just means listen for a damn change, because you don't do it now. Black women deserve the right to be heard, just like everyone else. Listening gives you the chance to figure out whether somebody is on point or full of shit. You don't know unless you listen. So, fucking listen for a change. Instead of ducking and dodging and interrupting and all this other fuck shit that you do to us.
Yeah, and y'all can't see, but I'm giving praise hands right now. Because, yeah. That was a word. Okay, so that was also our show. And if you want to talk to us about it, you can contact us on Twitter at Black Girl Squee. You can find me at Ender's Corner. You can find Dee Dee at Dust Daughter. You can also follow us on Tumblr, blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. You can also send us email, especially if you want to send anything for our second year anniversary. That's blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, where you can give us a five-star rating and a review. You can also find us on our podcast home at Simplecast. It's blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. And if you want to support the show, please go to patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. And if you give some support, you can listen to Dee Dee read Big Bang Classes.
I'm not...
Bye, y'all.